You're there in Ecclesiastes. No, we're not in Ecclesiastes yet. You're there in Genesis chapter number 37. Keep your place there. We're going to be in that area throughout the whole night. But go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Before I begin, I would like to thank Pastor Jimenez for opportunity to preach this evening. I was just as surprised as you guys when I found out that he wanted me to preach this evening. So appreciate it. So you're there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse 12. The Bible says, "For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them." So I want you to notice that the Bible compares us human beings to fishes that are taken in an evil net, also to the birds that are caught in the snare. The Bible says, "So are the sons of men snared or trapped in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." Right? The title of the sermon this evening is Abrupt, or the Abruptness of Life. Abrupt is another word for sudden, out of nowhere, or something that happened instantaneously, something that happened unexpectedly. So, you know, one of the most beautiful thing about life is not knowing what's around the corner, right? This could mean different things with different people. Some may not like uncertainties. Some may love them, right? I think most people are like in between. You know, good surprises are appreciated. And there are times that when surprises are not appreciated, right? Life is full of surprises. It doesn't matter how much planning you have. It doesn't matter how prepared you think you are. You know, today, everything could be sunshine and rainbows, then tomorrow might be doom and gloom, right? It's abrupt. Life is abrupt. It's filled with twists and turns and full of the unknown. You know, sometimes it's good and vice versa. Sometimes it's bad. So this evening, we're going to look at the life of Joseph and learn how he dealt with the snares and the evil nets and the evil time that has fallen suddenly upon him. So how to deal with the unknowns that are coming our way. So we're going to look at the life of Joseph. Joseph's life, like many characters in the Bible, was full of twists and turns. Joseph has four events in his life that the Bible shows us that in his perspective he didn't see coming. You're there in Genesis chapter number 37. Look down at Genesis 37 and verse 23. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Joseph was come to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and pit was empty, and there was no water in it." So that's one of the things, and there are other three things that we're going to look out this evening. Go to Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45. So a little bit of context. Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons. He was Jacob's favorite son and was given a coat of many colors. He also had a dream that one day all of his brothers, his father and mother will bow down to him and Joseph will reign over them. And for those reasons, his brothers hated him. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. His own flesh and blood conspired to kill him, but ended up, you know, selling him to slavery. And that's where we are in the story. So the first thing that we ought to do when something abrupt happens to us is to acknowledge God. Acknowledge God, good or bad. Acknowledge God. You're there in Genesis 45 and verse 8. The Bible says, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Go back to Genesis chapter number 39. So in Genesis chapter 45, we read that Joseph acknowledged that ultimately it was God that sent him to Egypt, right? And not his brother, because God had a purpose. The question is, did he know that at that time? Right? Probably not that specific. We're actually going to see where it clicked for him when he realized that, you know, why he had those dreams and why he ended up in Egypt. But I'm sure when he was sold into slavery at that moment, God was in his mind. And he was acknowledging God, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." And also there are two instances in the story of Joseph when he acknowledged God. You're there in Genesis 39. Look down to verse 9. This is the part of the story when Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce Joseph. And Joseph told her, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Go to chapter 41. I want you to notice that when he was faced with a sin or a temptation, he acknowledged God. So in Genesis chapter number 41, the other instance is when Joseph was imprisoned because of that that event in his life. So Joseph was imprisoned because of what Potiphar's wife accused him of doing. And Joseph had this ability to interpret dreams. So there was one of the guy who he helped when he was in prison remember that ability. And so that guy told Pharaoh of that ability. So Pharaoh summoned him and told him of the dream. You're in Genesis chapter 41. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace.'" Keep your place in Genesis. Go to Proverbs, Proverbs 3. So the dream was Egypt will have a 7 period of great and plenty harvest, and it will follow a 7 year period of famine. I want you to notice that when he was faced with a blessing or an opportunity, he directed the praise to God. The Bible says in Genesis 39, when he was faced with a sin or temptation, he acknowledged God. And also when he was faced with a blessing or an opportunity, he directed the praise to God. You're there in Proverbs 3 in verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." The Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So when you're hit with something unexpected, whether it's good or bad, whether it's a temptation or an opportunity, whether it's something that will cause you to sin or something that will cause you to be blessed, the Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I want you to know that you don't have to worry about where that will get you, right? Worry about what the will of God is, and let God worry about where the will of God is, right? Worry about the things that you should be doing, and don't worry about where those things will take you or where those things will get you. That's God's job, right? Here's the thing about you and I. When everything's going good, and you know, when it's actually easy to praise the Lord, and it's easy to give the glory to God, we tend to forget God and we get proud of ourselves, right? Instead of giving God the praise and thanking him, we forget about him. And on the other end, when something bad happens to us, we fail to acknowledge God. Instead of we question God, we become bitter towards God, and we try to react to it in our own understanding and see if we can fix it ourselves. The Bible says we ought to acknowledge him in all our ways, and we should not lean into our own understanding. Why? Because sometimes God moves in mysterious ways, right? Good or bad, being tempted or being blessed, whatever it is, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And the Bible says, and he shall direct thy paths. Go back to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39. I thought it was interesting how the story of Joseph restarted. Because in Genesis 37, we read through it. The story of Joseph basically started. But there was a break in chapter number 38. The chapter 38 is about Judah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 39 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands." The Bible says in verse 4, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hands." It restarted by showing he was brought down to Egypt. And in verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." I want you to notice that the Bible didn't say he was discouraged. The Bible didn't say that he was bitter. The Bible didn't say that he was sad or anything like that, right? I want you to see that the Bible doesn't show any of that. My point is Joseph did not falter, right? He remained the way he is. So keep your place in Genesis. Go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. So point number one this evening: acknowledge God in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. Secondly, when something abrupt happens to you, be still. Be still. Do not falter. Don't be discouraged. Don't forget who you are. Keep doing what you're doing. How did the people know he was a godly man? All right, the Bible says in Genesis 39, I'm just going to read this to you. The Bible says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." So how did they know he was a godly man? Was it his demeanor? Was it his attitude, the way he dressed? You know, the way he carried himself? I think it was because he was not discouraged. Instead, he was ready for whatever and ready to work hard. And for those reasons, wherever he went, he got opportunities. God blessed him and God helped him. Right? If you remember Daniel, when the government made a law against him praying, what did he do? Right? He didn't get scared, right? He didn't falter. He did what he was consistently doing, and the Lord protected him. You know, sometimes, or I should say usually, when bad things happen to people, they do the things that they shouldn't be doing, and they stop doing the things that they shouldn't stop doing, right? When they get depressed, instead of surrounding themselves with friends and try to get as busy as they can, they isolate themselves and lock themselves in a room, right? They stop going to church instead of acknowledging God. Instead of getting closer to God, you know, by reading their Bibles or praying, they stop doing all those things. They stop reading their Bibles, they stop praying, they stop soul winning. The Bible says, be still. You're there in Psalm 46, the Bible says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among heathen, I will be exalted in the earth." So do not be discouraged. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and let God deal with it. The Bible says in Psalm 118 and verse 6, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" You're there. Go back to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. So point number one, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Point number two, be still. Do not falter. Third point is kind of, I have three sub-points with this one. This is going to be my longest point. So the third point is realize that it's okay. Realize that it's okay. Realize that it's okay to run when you're faced with a fight that you can't win. Also, it's okay to take a pass when you're faced with a fight not worth fighting. Genesis chapter number 39, look at verse 11. Genesis 39, verse 11. The Bible reads, "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business." And there, notice this, and the Bible says, "And there was none of the men of the house there within." I want you to notice that Joseph made a mistake of going into that empty house by himself. It was only going to be him and Potiphar's wife, right? Here we see that sometimes, even with good intentions, and even with a clean heart, we can still get ourselves into trouble, right? By not being careful. You know, there's a reason why we go two by two here at Verity Baptist Church when we're going soul winning, other than safety, because sometimes even with good intentions, we can still get ourselves into trouble. You know, sometimes kindness alone can't help people. You need to be smart about it. There are things that are right, but it becomes wrong when you do it in a stupid way, right? You know, like when people, you see a lot of hobos and bums out there, right? You know, the Bible says that they shouldn't eat if they're not willing to work, right? That's why I don't give them money. That's why I don't give them food, right? Because sometimes kindness alone can't help people. So let's continue on reading. The Bible says in verse 12, "And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." So I want you to notice that we see here that when he was faced with a fight that he cannot win, when he was faced with a fight that would only cause him to sin, he fled. Job 28:28, the Bible says, "And unto man he said, 'Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.'" Realize that it's okay to run when you're faced with something that may cause you to sin. Realize that it's okay to run when you're faced with something that, you know, you're faced with a fight that you cannot win. Or if there's a fight that there really isn't a point of fighting, right? Also, realize that it's okay. It's okay to wait. When you don't know what to do, wait. Wait on God. Go to Genesis 42. Let me ask this question: what should I do? What should I do right now? You know, maybe just take a step back and let it all play out. You know, sometimes it's okay not to do anything. Just wait. Step back and don't do anything. Wait on the Lord. You don't need to do anything. Let it play out until God reveals to you what your next step should be. Amen. In this part of the story in Genesis 42 and verse 6, Joseph became the governor of Egypt. He was promoted after he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. You know, again, the dream was 7 years of great and plenty harvest, but will follow 7 years of famine. Long story short, everyone was looking at Egypt to buy their supplies because Egypt was able to prepare for it. So Jacob heard about Egypt, and so he sent his 10 sons to buy some supplies, but they didn't realize that their brother, whom they sold into slavery, is now the governor of Egypt. So Genesis 42 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him and their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him." Stay in Genesis, go to Psalm 37. Here we see Joseph didn't act like most of us will act, right? If that was me, if that was you, we would have just flipped out and thrown these people out, right? Get out of here, right? Here we see that when you're not sure what to do sometimes, the best thing to do is not do anything. Just wait. Let it all play out. You know, Joseph acted the role. He acted as Joseph, the governor of Egypt, and not as Joseph, the betrayed and sold into slavery brother of these guys, right? Until he knew what the next step was, it's okay not to, until he knows what to do after, he waited, right? My point is it's okay not to know the answer sometimes. It's okay not to know what to do, and it's okay to wait. You're in Psalm 37. The Bible says in verse 7, the Bible says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wickedness devices to pass." Look down on verse 9. The Bible says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." You got to accept that there are things that we cannot fully control. There are things that we just don't know how they will turn out, and that's okay. We may try to influence it, but in the end, we need to realize that we cannot fully control the outcome. So the thing to do is wait, right? You know that loved one of yours that you keep trying to give the gospel to, and they're getting irritated because, you know, you're forcing the gospel to them? Or maybe, like, you're guilt-tripping them because, you know, they're going to hell? Maybe the best thing to do is wait, right? Pray that God puts him in a situation where they can be open to the gospel, and maybe they're willing to hear the gospel at that time, right? And also sometimes it takes time before God reveals his plan to us. And we know from the story that eventually at that right time, he will reveal himself to his brothers. So first one is, it's okay to run when you're faced with a fight that you can't win. Secondly, it's okay to wait. Realize that it's okay to wait. Thirdly, realize that everything's okay. Everything's okay. Go to Romans 8. Realize that it's probably not as bad as you think it is. You know, at least you're alive. At least you're going to heaven when you die, if you're saved. But you don't understand. I lost my job. I just lost my friend. This just happened to me. And yes, I probably don't understand. I probably won't understand. But I know that it's going to be okay, right? You're going to be fine. The Bible says in Romans 8:28. You're all familiar with this. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." The Bible says all things will work together for good, but you need to love God. There's a condition to that. Joseph, even when he made that mistake, if you remember, even when he made that mistake of going to that house by himself and caused him to be imprisoned, you know, it still worked out for him, right? It still worked out for good. He met that prisoner who told Pharaoh about his ability. The Bible says to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. It will pass. It will pass. I have this question. Why do people quit? Why do people quit? Because reality did not match their expectations, right? They look at other people's success and follow the steps of those same people, and they get discouraged, but when it doesn't turn out the way it did for those people, you got to stop that. Stop that. You are a unique individual. God created you differently. We all have our own paths to wherever we're going. We're not created equally. And the Bible says it's foolish to compare yourselves among yourselves. Right? Why don't you just realize it's part of being alive? Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down, and that's okay. So instead of taking your problems lying down and getting depressed, you need to realize that someone probably has the same exact problem that you have. But you're in better hands, right? Because you've got God who's watching over you, right? So point number one, we saw three ways to react when something bad happens to us. So when we're faced with something unexpected, we ought to acknowledge God. You know, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Also, we ought to be still. Be still and know that he is God, and he's in control. We also need to realize that it's okay. Everything's okay in my Father's house, right? Amen. Also, realize that it's okay to run when you're faced with a fight that you can't win, when you're faced with a fight that will only cause you to sin, Amen. And where's really no point of fighting. And realize that it's okay to wait. It's okay to wait. Let it all play out. Now let's see what we should do after we get hit. Go to Genesis 42. Genesis chapter number 42. After you get hit, point number one, understand why. Understand why. You got to ask this question. Why did that happen? There has to be a reason, right? Remember, you're a Christian. You live in a different standard than the rest of the world. You're in a different set of rules than the rest of the world. You have a heavenly Father who's watching over you. You're there in Genesis 42 and verse 9. We read the previous verses earlier. But the Bible says in verse 9, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land you are come. Go to chapter 45. Chapter 45. I believe this is the moment when he understood everything. This is the moment where it clicked for him. He understood what that dream was from chapter 37, and why he ended up in Egypt. Because he remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. So the moment his brother showed up at his doorstep, he understood everything. He understood why everything happened to him happened. You're there in Genesis 45. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, and Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And he stood, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptian in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? He's asking, is dad still alive? The Bible says, and his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Why? For God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. The Bible says in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I like this verse. The Bible says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, there's a part of the story where Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers. Joseph understood the reason why he ended up in Egypt. God sent him to Egypt to preserve life. Life of the people and life of Jacob's and his sons. We see in other passages also that where God had promised Israel that he will make Jacob a great nation in Egypt. So Joseph understood that the reason why he was sold into slavery and had to go through everything that he went through and ultimately became the governor of Egypt was because God needed him to be there. You know, sometimes in life, like I said earlier, we complain, we get bitter towards God or question God when bad things happen to us. Maybe just have a better perspective or try to see the bigger picture. You know, maybe God just needs you to be where you are. You have to figure out why that thing happened. We need to understand why, and we try to see the bigger picture so we can glorify God. You got to ask yourself a question, you know, is it sin? Maybe you're reaping what you've sown. Maybe God is chastening you. Is it sin? Confess it. then forsake it. Maybe he's trying to get your attention. Maybe you're backsliding and God is trying to get you back on track. Maybe God is asking you to make a decision. Maybe God has put something in your heart and you're not listening to him. So he has to get your attention by doing something abrupt. Or maybe God is just trying you like he did with Job, right? To make you a better person. Maybe God has a plan and he's using you. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Point number one, understand why. Why? The Bible says because God has a plan in our lives, right? Ephesians chapter number 2 in verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Point number one, understand why. Understand why. Because there has to be a reason why that thing happened. Point number two, pay attention to the lesson. Pay attention to the lesson. Once you've gotten out of something, a storm of life, or a challenge from God, or even a chastisement, or a blessing, or whatever it is, you need to realize that there's always takeaways. So pay attention to the lesson. Get out of it a better person. So what did you learn? So what did we learn from the life of Joseph? I'll give you a few. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. A few things that we learned from the life of Joseph. We learned that God has a plan, right? And God moves in mysterious ways. And sometimes he even uses evil people to get you where you need to be. We also learned that, we also learned to always be forgiving. You know, if someone is sincerely sorry and they seek forgiveness from you, forgive them. It doesn't matter how big their sins are, forgive them. Why? Because it's hypocritical for anyone not to forgive, right? You're a sinner, condemned to hell. I'm a sinner, condemned to hell. And God loved me, and God forgave me, and God saved me, right? You're there in Ephesians 4, the Bible says in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We also learn to always do the right thing. Always do the right thing. You know, sometimes when we're facing uncertainties, we tend to do the most convenient thing, right? Whatever is the easiest. But not because it's easy, it's the right thing to do. Sometimes the answers to our problems are the hardest to implement. They can really be simple. It's just hard to do. And lastly, we learn about being content. You're in there in Philippians 4. I can hear Joseph actually quoting these verses from Apostle Paul. The Bible says in verse 11, "Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." I can hear Joseph say these words. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Amen. So maybe something has happened to you, good or bad. What did you get out of it? What did you learn? What's the takeaway? You know, our experiences allow us to look at the past and make better choices in light of what happened, in light of what transpired. It gives us an opportunity to create a better future on what happened. So use what you've learned to make a better person out of yourself. Use what you've learned to make you a better Christian, and use it ultimately to further the cause of Christ. Amen. So pay attention to the lesson. Point number one, understand. Understand why that happened. Point number two, pay attention to the lesson. Point number, the last point this evening. Lastly, after you've been hit with a storm or after you've been hit with a blessing, I want you to trust God. Trust him. It all comes down to faith, right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Trust him. The Bible says without faith, we cannot please God. So maybe you're here tonight and in your mind you're saying, "I don't understand. I really don't understand why I went through. You can't understand why whatever it is that happened to you. So you can't really do anything or you can't really learn anything from it. Maybe at the end of the day, maybe the lesson is, you know, just trust him. Trust God. Trust the Lord. So just trust him because God knows what he's doing. You know what? In Joseph's story, Joseph understood that God needed him to go to Egypt to save his people. Joseph understood everything, but that's not always the case for everyone, right? If you remember Job didn't understand God's reason why he went through what he went through. In fact, God never revealed it to him. But Job trusted God, and the Bible says that, you know, he didn't sin against God with his mouth. We know how his story ended. God blessed him twice as much as before God tried him. Right? The patience of Job, right? Job lost everything, his riches, his status, his fame, and his children, everything. And God never told him why. Imagine being able to speak with God, right, and ask him, Lord, why? Why? Why did I have to go through that? And God doesn't answer you directly. Instead, he shows you a dinosaur, right? Instead, God shows you his wonders, his creations. Job never got an answer from God. Never got an answer to why what happened to him happened. I'm sure he knows now that he's in heaven, right? I'm pretty sure he's pleased to know that there's actually a book about him, about his life, right? Remember Paul? Paul asked God to remove a thorn in his flesh. Instead, God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. You're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 8. The Bible says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. The Bible says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Go to Nahum chapter number 1. Nahum chapter number 1. I'm almost done. You know, God sometimes allows certain things to happen to us to build us, right? To build our faith so we can rely on him, so we can trust him, and we can be used by him in a mighty way. The point is, maybe you'll never find out why or why God does what he does. But whatever it is, just trust him. Amen. Trust him. You're in Nahum 1 in verse 3. Look at verse 3. I like this verse. These verses. The Bible says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. I like this phrase right here. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds that are dust in his feet, he rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. And there's this like kind of abrupt verse. The Lord is good, and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You know, pastors often say you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or getting ready to get into a storm, right? That's life for you. It's filled with twists and turns and full of the unknowns. But hey, the Bible says the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. So trust him. Trust him. Like I said in the beginning, you know, the beautiful thing about life is not knowing what's around the corner. You know, obviously, not knowing can cause fear and anxiety. But we've got God on our side, so why should we be worried? Amen. Why do we keep trying? Why do we keep living? Because we want to know what tomorrow brings. And as much as we don't like bad surprises, really, only in struggles we can find meaning in life, right? Go to Philippians 4:5. I hope you understand the point of the sermon. The point of the sermon is to show you a godly man by the name of Joseph, how he went through a lot and survived through all those things, not by his own strength. He did it by the strength of God. Amen. Right? Philippians 4:5, the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, life isn't always going to be sunshine and rainbows. So when life has abruptly turned on you, letter A, acknowledge God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Letter B, be still. Be still and know that he is God. Letter R, realize. Realize that everything is okay. It's okay to run when you're faced with a fight that you can't win. Realize that it's okay to wait when you don't know what to do. And realize that everything is okay. And after you've been hit, letter U, understand why it happened. Why did it happen? You got to understand there's a reason why, right? And also, after that, letter P, pay attention to the lessons. Pay attention to the lessons. And lastly, letter T, trust him. Trust him. Because we know that whatever happens, whatever falls on your doorstep, we know that Jesus does all things well. And he will lead you through it, right? I like that song. We sang it on Wednesday. It's, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. It goes, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." Let's pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, who is a great man of God, Lord. Pray that you would protect him and protect everyone that's traveling back this week, Lord. Pray that you would bless them and help them, Lord. And pray that the sermon was a blessing. Pray that you would help everyone of us, Lord, to keep these things, Lord, and to just put our faith and trust in you in whatever it is that we face, Lord. Lord, we love you. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.